Welcome to the second episode of It's All Bad. And this week we are going to talk about
Folsom Prison Blues.
So much blues. We have Keith, we have Rush and Danny, we have our producer Charlie here, and I'm Mike. And Keith, I'm going to turn that over to you.
Okay. The sirens reminded me of this story. So I guess it was about, I'm going to say it was 1993, and I was at Chino West Yard, and anyway, so they call your name over the chain, you know, so forth and so on, and depending on where you're going, you know, there's different ways to prep it, but in particular.
Can I ask one question? Sorry. What's a chain?
Oh, the chain is the bus that takes you from either the county jail to prison or from prison to prison.
Copy.
In this case, it was from prison to prison. So anyway, most places you go, you know, you get your, you put your stuff in a bag, you give it to the cops, they chain you up, take you up there, and then you get it the next morning after you've been assigned a cell. In this case, you know, at Old Folsom and San Quentin, and I think Soledad as well, those prisons, they run the same way they did in the old days. Like, they don't have electric gates. It's like crank gates, you know, like the hydraulic shit, but it's like hand cranks. Anyway, so there, you go in a place called Fish Row for a couple of weeks before you get any of your property. So if you want to bring any drugs or tobacco, any kind of contraband, you have to take it to the hoop. You have to put it in warm storage. So you, whatever you have to take has to come in Uranus. Anyway, so I just went to the store, and about six or seven of our friends, we had all got called to go to Old Folsom. And so I had a couple of cans, you know, we rolled our own cigarettes. I had a couple of cans of tobacco. So you take a
when
glove.
You hear that you have to move, does everything start to loosen down there?
No, it actually starts to tighten.
Okay.
None of us had ever carried anything of that girth.
Copy.
I don't. One guy had this older guy, Critter from El Monte, but he had.
Critter.
Yeah.
But Critter. He's the only one. Critter had that girth, hadn't he?
So, you know, you cram it into the finger of a latex glove and then tie it in a knot, and then put another one, tie it in a knot, another one, so it doesn't come open and give you tobacco poisoning. So, anyway, so we're all sitting, you know, at my bunk, and we're packing these things, and they're about about half of a cigar in length, and they're about the same diameter as a cigar, you know, and they're rock hard because there's quite a good pile of tobacco in there. Like if you undo it, it's about the size of a package of Top Ramen packed into that small thing, and
going in your ass.
Yeah. So anyway, so like in the morning, all of us, you know, we're sitting on the toilet, you know, like, and you put a little chip of soap up your ass to like kind of have a clearance sale and get all the dookie out of there, so you have room to put it.
You put a chip of soap in,
like a chip off of a bar of soap. If you gently slide it through the clown collar, a few minutes later you'll
evacuate.
Yeah.
Wow.
Oh.
Yeah.
It's good to know.
That's actually great to know.
Also, on a side note, you can put bars of soap under your armpits to cause a fever. Cause a temperature raise.
Whoa.
You don't want to go to work. Anyway, so things you should know. So all of us, you know, you're like sitting on a toilet. We're all trying to figure this out. And we have like, you know, hair grease, three flowers, and we're like lubing it up. And you slide it up there. And it just, you know, once it's up there, it's uncomfortable. It just feels like you got to poo, you know. Anyway, so all of us have it. And you stand up and you're trying, but it just feels like it's trying to come out. Anyway, eventually we're in chains. So you have like a handcuffs with a chain that goes to a chain around your waist. And then that's another chain that goes to your ankles. And we all get in the bus. And on the way up there, about 20 minutes in or so, like I realize, I'm like, man, I've got a raging hard on, you know, I've got like a blue vein, and I'm like, what the fuck, why do I have a boner? It's like, it's not too common in prison, and
oh god damn,
but it's like,
I'm sorry,
kind of, yeah,
blue vein, sorry. Really, blue vein really is quite a
but I'm sitting on the bus,
that's an,
and like,
image blaster,
yeah. So I had the boner for a while, and then, and it wasn't calming down, you know, and then eventually, like, it kind of dawned on me, it's like me and 40 dudes on a prison bus, and I'm like, oh man, and it dawned on me, I'm like, I can't believe I'm gay. I'm like, I can't fucking, cause all, you know, I'm just like, the simple arithmetic is there's a big hard thing in my ass and I've got a boner. And I kind of had a meltdown, like, you know, in my mind. I was like, what the fuck? I can't, you know, I should have went to college or fucking hair school or whatever. You know,
you
I
should have went to different. College. That's not how it works. Yeah. But anyway.
No, yeah. But that's how I thought. I was like, fuck, I had no idea I was gay and all this shit. So now,
yeah.
You know, my life's kind of before my eyes. I'm like, nobody's going to take me seriously, you know, when I'm trying to be a fucking gangster and all this shit. And then, you know, and like, it's about a 10-hour bus ride from Chino to, it's just outside Sacramento, Folsom is. It, you know, you could drive there in 5 or 6 hours, but on a prison bus, they stop and it takes much longer. But anyway, I would say out of the 10 hours, I probably had the boner a good 8.5 hours on and off, you know. But I would have it for a few hours at a time. And I have no idea what a prostate is. I found that out way after I quit going to prison. But so I'm like sweating and shit. And I'm like, fuck, I really got to rethink my life, you know. And I'm like, fuck. So then I start trying to think of, like, famous dudes I would smash. You know what I mean? Like, I was like, fucking Tom Cruise? No. Fucking, you know, whoever was famous at that time. Bruce Willis? No. Fucking all these names and shit. And then the only one I landed on was, like, a young Elvis because he was all handsome. I was like, fuck, he's kind of hot, you know? And then I thought, well, fuck, I don't want to move to Orange County, you know, because that's where all the rockabillies were at the time, you know, in the 90s. I was like, fuck, I don't want to live in Tustin and go hang out at fucking Fat Freddy's all the time.
Jesus.
And
that's incredible. So you're just over there at the Bob's Big Boy on the other side. You and Jay Leno hanging out. Hey, how do you look at you, Richie Cunningham?
Yeah.
Where are you going? That's incredible that you went through that dialogue. Oh my
so,
god.
So
good. And you landed on the king.
Yeah. So we're going up there.
He's a beautiful man.
Yeah. Handsome dude.
Yeah. You know?
Anyway, so we get to the, when you get there, they take you all and put you in a cell, like a big holding tank. But I had a jumpsuit on. So the chain is going around the jumpsuit, if you can picture this. I mean, it only unsnaps like down to the bottom of the crotch. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
And I told my friend, I'm like, you got to watch these cops. You know, I'm like, I got to get this clavo out because it was so uncomfortable. And I go in there and I'm like, this is after hours of trying to figure out what my new lifestyle is going to be like.
Yeah.
I'm going to be gay and date a rockabilly dude, I guess, or whatever. But I go in there and I fucking twist the whole jumpsuit around in order. They couldn't believe I did it. My friend couldn't believe that I fucking did it. And I came out with the clavo. I got it out of there by twisting the jumpsuit around. And for
where'd
some
you put it when you took it out?
I just washed it in the sink and I had it in my pocket.
Oh, cool.
You know? Mm-hmm. And I came out and for some reason I just had like, it was like somebody shot truth serum into me. Because remember, there's like six of us with these clavos. And that was the part I forgot when we were in Chino. We were like, oh, man. Like, and that dude Critter, he was like probably 55. And he's like, you got to find the sweet spot, youngster. You know, that, apparently there's a sweet spot in there you got to adjust to make it go to. So anyway, so I get the clavo out and I walk in and there's like my buddies are, you know, they're all sitting on the concrete. And I just looked at them. I go, man, I ain't going to lie. My dick was harder than $20 worth of jawbreakers on the way up here. And all four of them, you could just see their shoulders relax. They're like, oh, thank God, man. Me too. Me too. And those are my Folsom prison blues.
Wow.
And did you guys have a discussion about it after that point, or was that it? That was basically like, that was it.
No, that was the only discussion is the one where they're like, oh, thank God, man, me too. That was the end of it.
Okay.
Yeah. I just got a bidet at my house, and same thing, like sometimes I'll turn it up a little, and it'll start blasting up there, and I'll be like, ooh, here we go.
Is it good?
It's so good.
Is it cleansing?
Oh, dude, it's it's a fucking game changer.
You still have to pat down the balloon knot after, though.
After, right? Yeah. Uh-huh.
Yeah.
You do?
Yeah.
It doesn't absolutely remove.
So if you want to drop a little more bread, and like there, you can get one that'll dry it too. Where like you switch a thing, and then it'll like there's a hot fan. That one you got to do a whole thing for. I don't even know how that works.
You know that there are so many electrical incidents that could happen with that one, right? Like that just
worth
like
it. Such, well worth it. Such,
no. Not just the cleansing, but the cleansing and drying. You're asking.
Yeah.
You're asking for trouble.
Still
right?
Worth it.
Because there's
still
something electric. Well, okay. Yeah.
There's plumbing and electricity.
Danny likes it clean. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Danny likes it clean down there.
Young Elvis.
Young Elvis, plush. I think we just roll right into fucking PCP zip zap, Danny.
Yeah.
Danny.
So there was a period of my life when I discovered PCP. SHRM, as they call it on the streets. And I'm like one of two people that did SHRM more than once, you know. Motherfuckers try it and they're like, oh no, like never again. And I was like, this is so cool. Like, what a great drug. Where can I get more of it, you know? Especially like white dudes don't do it, you know. It's like a more of like a hood thing.
Yeah.
That stuff is demented.
Yeah.
Like I encountered it one time and I'd totally been dosed. Someone asked me to go up and smoke a joint with them, you know, like, hey, you want to smoke a joint? And I knew within like two hits of it. And then within 15 minutes, I was vomiting out of a window.
Yeah.
Like, just, I was like, this is not, why do people do this? That's amazing. I like, I love that you're just like, I actually took to it.
Yeah. Well, yeah. I remember trying it. Like, a dude brought over like a SHRM stick, you know, which is a cigarette dipped in PCP.
Yeah.
And we lit it up and like somebody knocked on the door and we all look at each other and we're like, fuck, who's going to go? You know, who's going to go for it? And like my friend's like, I can't walk, you know, and we all, like me and two other dudes, stand up and we start walking towards the door. And you're like, it's like you're fucking moonwalking, you know, like you got these like inflatable boots on and every fucking step takes you to like, it took us what felt like 20 minutes to get, you know, 15 feet to the door. And by the time we got there was nobody there, you know. It was kind of fucked up, but I loved it. I was like, this is the best drug. And where do I get, you know, I looked at my friend. I was like, how much for another one, you know? And he was like, $10. And I'm like, how much for, what's the next increment that we could get, you know? And so he got me like a bunch of PCP and he brought it over and he was like, here you go. He's like, just promise me one thing, you're not gonna drive, you know? And I was like, dude, I don't drive, you know, like I have a car, but I didn't have a license. And I was like, sure, I'm not gonna fucking drive, why would I drive, you know? And he was like, all right, I'll be back in an hour, you know, just don't drive, like do anything else you want, just don't fucking drive anywhere, you know. And I, you know, so we smoked another SHRM stick and we're sitting there and it was me and this kid, Earl, who grew up in Chinatown, Asian kid. I think the only Asian Earl maybe to ever exist on this planet. And we're sitting there and I fucking remember that I had some laundry going down the street at the laundromat. So I look over at Earl and Earl didn't smoke any PCP. I was the only one that smoked it. And I'm like, Earl, I need you to drive me to the laundromat, please, you know. And he goes, all right, cool, yeah, we'll get, I'll get right on it. He goes, like, I'm just reading my horoscope, you know. I was like, motherfucker, you know. So I think I like maybe took another few more hits off the SHRM stick.
He was reading his horoscope. He's dead, reading, like, yeah. Where in the paper?
It was a paper. Yeah, I don't
so
even know.
So he was
what.
Like, hang on, yeah. I will take you, yes, to go get your laundry. I've just got to read my horoscope.
Yeah, oh yeah,
all right.
Yeah, Earl was a big meth guy, you know, so he was like trying to he's sitting there trying to figure
either
out.
Either that or Earl next was like just a 74-year-old woman. So, I've just got to finish this article in Reader's Digest about colostomy bags. Yes. But Susan once Miller, I'm done, yeah, I'll drive. Okay.
So I take a few more hits off the, you know, the SHRM stick, and I look over at Earl again, and I'm like, dude, I got to go get this laundry. Somebody's going to, you know, I see one of the symptoms of PCP is you start getting really paranoid. It's, yeah, like, you know, and I'm like, fuck, somebody's going to steal all my laundry, you know? And like, and I can't have that.
Laundry bandits.
Yeah. Oh, the laundry bandits. I've done it. Yeah. You know, I've been there. So I knew the karma was like right around the corner for me.
Jesus Christ. You've stolen laundry.
Oh yeah.
All right.
Yeah. Not even dry laundry. I think I just fucking took a bag of somebody's like still wet laundry.
That's great.
Yeah. Sometimes you got to switch, you know, you got to, yeah, you got to switch it up.
Oh, God.
You don't want to fit the description of anybody that is doing the stuff you're doing.
On a side note,
this, like, man's not just a dryer thief. He'll get your wet stuff as well. Take a pair of your wet pants right out of the dryer, put them on, go to a job interview.
I've smoked PCP as well. And like, this is a clear cut sign of a dope fiend. Think about this. You dip it right into a liquid. You pull it out. It's soaking wet.
Mm-hmm.
When you light it, a giant flame goes up.
Oh, yeah.
And then you smoke it.
But there's a trick to it. And I learned this a few times in. So you don't light it with the lighter. You light a regular cigarette. And then you monkey fuck the SHRM stick.
Oh. I didn't know that.
Yeah.
But I'm just saying, isn't that a clear-cut sign when something's that flammable? Yeah. You shouldn't be smoking it? Like, it's kind of a... I don't know. It should be a warning about... I fucking hate PCP, but...
Dude, the only thing that I know about... I know two things about PCP. I know that when I was a kid, If according to the local Rhode Island news, if you smoked PCP, you wound up naked outside of an elementary school at 4 o'clock in the morning, trying to smash into the building, trying to get into the building using a fire extinguisher as an implement, because that's what I saw on the news once as a kid, and I was like, my God, what is that man doing? And it was like the assailant was on PCP, and my dad was like, don't mess around. I don't ever mess around with that. And I was like, oh, okay, that's good. I was like 7 or 8, and I'm just like, that's terrifying.
That's kind of the one warning that is true, though.
Yeah.
That's kind of true. You know, like how they
don't.
That is the shit. You end up naked on a roof and all that kind of
stuff. You will. I was like, I don't want to be that. I don't want to be that guy.
Yeah. It never affected me in that. I mean, I would just get really fucking paranoid. You know, I was like, everyone's coming after me. But to me, like, I saw it as like we had like our own little cool nickname for it. I was like, oh, it's like gutter acid, you know? It was just like really dark. And like, you know, when you start having a bad trip, like it was kind of just like immediate bad trip. Like there was no good trip.
And Daniil says, I'd like more. Yeah.
What's that drug?
No, I subscribe to this.
Yeah, when you really have low expectations.
Yeah. Dude, I absolutely get that. I get it. I've listened to a lot of Joy Division while taking LSD. Just people being like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? All right.
All right.
So anyway, back to Earl. Yes. Where's Earl?
So I'm sitting there, and I think I take a few more hits, and I look over at Earl, and I'm like, dude, we really got to get to the laundromat. And the laundromat's not that far. It's probably fucking it's definitely walking distance from my house. You know, it was there was a Chinese food and donuts on Silver Lake Boulevard. It was right next to that, right behind, like, that triangle fucking building, you know?
Yeah.
What a great invention. Chinese food and donuts under one roof, you know? Side note.
Wait, on where?
On Silver Lake Boulevard, like if you're going south towards the 101, that like triangular, you know.
Dude, if the oil's hot, put it in.
Yeah, Chinese, throw it the fuck
that's
in.
How you get donuts, fried fish.
Sweet and sour pork.
Sweet and sour
egg rolls,
pork.
Yeah, whatever the egg fuck. Rolls, throw whatever, it all in there, yeah.
Yep.
So, and I look over at Earl and I'm like, dude, we really have to go, you know? And he goes, hold on 1 second. And now he's like moved on from the horoscope to now like to numerology, you know? And he's like fucking trying to add and subtract and figure out some shit, you know? And I was like, this fucking cocksucker. So I look over and I'm like, it's not that far. I'll make it. I'll be totally fine. You know, I got a car. I didn't have a license. At this point, I never had a driver's license. And I just bought this vehicle from a friend. It was like a 95 Honda Accord. And this is like 2012 that this happened. You know? And I don't believe there was any maintenance on the Honda Accord. Probably never got a fucking oil change, you know? Yeah. And so I was like, fuck it. I'll make it. You know, I'll be fine. I don't even know if I ever drove that car, you know? And I get into it, and I drive down. I make it there. I got my laundry, you know, throw it in the bag or whatever. And I'm like, man, this is great. You know, like, why? I wonder why the fucking asshole told me not to drive on PCP. Like, this is awesome. And I'm driving back, and there was, like, a detour. Like, I couldn't go, you know. I don't know. I didn't want to turn left because that could have been a little sketchy, you know. So I go right, and I'm coming around the street, and there's a sign that's, like, road construction ahead, you know. And I'm driving up the hill, and I remember, like, seeing the road construction, you know. And I was like, all right, I should probably slow down, you know. And next thing I know, the car is no longer outside. Like, I'm driving. The sky is blue, you know. There's maybe a few clouds in the sky, you know, but I look around and there's no more sky around me. And all of a sudden I'm inside of somewhere in the car, you know, and I'm looking around and it's like in somebody's garage, but I didn't go in through the fucking door, you know, like it was like a man cave. You know, I remember seeing like some old, like Led Zeppelin posters, some lame shit, you know, like in the man cave. And next thing I know, there's a guy coming up to me and he goes, man, are you okay? Are you okay? And it's suddenly becoming clear to me that something happened. I must have pressed the gas instead of the brake. I don't know how I got there, but I smashed into a guy's garage with the car, you know? And he's like, are you okay? And he said like the, you know, he said the words that you never want to hear is, I call the cops or the ambulance is on its way, you know? And immediately I hear sirens. Like, I'm like, oh, fuck, you know, this is all bad. It's all bad. It's literally all bad at this point. You know? And I'm like, yeah, I'm okay, you know. And I was like, man, I just need to get some breath. And I get out and I kind of look around. And I remember being like, fuck, I can't leave my laundry in the car, you know. So I grab the bag of laundry and I had a skateboard in there. And I hop on the board and I just skate away. Leave the fucking car. My cell phone was in there and I was like, fuck it, you know. I got to get out of here, you know. So I get out, I come back, Earl's still fucking sitting there reading his fucking numerology. He's like, man, where'd you go? I was just ready to go to fucking laundromat. And I was like, all right, Earl, forget that. You know, forget that. Forget the car ever
existed. We're beyond.
You know, yeah,
we're past the laundromat, Earl.
Mm-hmm, yeah, fuck that. Let's smoke some more Sherm, though. That's
sucking
for. Oh, of course, yeah.
Now, wait.
Forget about it.
And what happened? You just left the truck there?
Left the car, yeah. Fuck it. Forgot about it, you know? And
were they clean plates?
No, the car was still registered. I just got it so recently that it was still registered to my friend Kevin that sold it to me, you know? Which was like a whole other fucking thing where I was like, fuck, now I got to talk to Kevin and fucking break the news to him, you know? Like, I was like, whatever. We'll get to that someday. So, two, 3 weeks later,
did you call it in stolen?
No, I didn't even. I didn't even think to do that. You know, I'm so dumb. That would have made the whole thing that much easier. And a few weeks later, I come outside of my house and there's like a note on my door from the Los Angeles Sheriff's Department. The detectives to me, you know, which was not the registered owner of the car, saying that I am wanted for questioning about this fucking car, about a car crash. And I was like, ah, fuck, you know. And I couldn't not show up because that would have been worse. You know, then I get a warrant and then it's a whole fucking thing. So I knew that they probably contacted Kevin. Kevin was like, oh, I sold this car, you know, release of liability, whatever.
Yeah, yeah.
So I'm like, oh, man, I don't know but I wasn't ready to do it yet. And then like a day or two later, I get a voicemail from that same fucking detective being like, hey, you know, you're wanted for questioning. So I start running through all the scenarios in my head. I'm like, how am I going to pull this off? Like, how am I going to? Because I'm going to have to walk into there, you know, like without a doubt. Yeah. I have to show up, you know. How am I going to throw them off? How am I going to convince them that I was not the guy that did it, you know, that actually crashed the car into this dude's house when the dude literally saw me, you know? And I remembered I had this fucking Halloween costume. And I had a wig from a Halloween costume. And it was like a dreadlock wig, you know. It looked very realistic. And I think I'm like, fuck it. I'm just going to throw the dreadlock wig on, you know, and see what happens. You know, then I won't fit my own description when I go in to see the detective. You know? So I throw the wig on. I go downtown. I show up, you know, and they're like, oh, Mr. Harunji. I'm like, yeah, that's me, you know. And they, you know, and they're like, all right, hold on. It'll be a few minutes. And I come in and I'm like, fuck. That's when you really start sweating it, where I'm like, what the fuck am I doing right now? You know, I literally just showed up to the detective's office wearing a dreadlock wig. I'm clearly not a guy that has ever had fucking a single dreadlock anywhere near him, you know. Maybe like a hippie girlfriend that was like, here, I got a present for you. Here's a here's a bracelet made out of one of my dreads, you know. But I sit down and, you know, they call me into the office and the guy goes, all right, so on whatever date, you know, black fucking Honda Accord. And I'm like, yeah, you know. And he goes, yeah, it's not you. You don't fit the description of the guy, you know? And I'm like, what? You know, I'm like, cool. The fucking wig must have really done it. They're like, yeah, it was like a 5'2" Hispanic guy that crashed the car. And I was like, oh, fuck, man. Like, whatever. Guess God must have been looking out for me. I don't know what the fuck. Like, you know, clearly I'm not a 5'2" bald Hispanic guy. You know, that's I don't think I've ever been bald. Yeah.
That's amazing.
Yeah.
But what's amazing more is that you could have gone down there just as yourself.
Yeah, I could have totally gone as
passed. But yet, in fact, wearing that wig made the scenario even more risky in the end. Because they could have been like, yeah, but why do you have a wig on?
Yeah.
It's so good.
The best part is leaving that morning, I was like, all right, I'm going to go in. And I was like, I need to take a photo of this just to be able to, like, if I do go down for years for this shit, at least I'll have a photo to go along with it.
And we're going to that is a photo that we have. We can post that up on the Instagram.
Yeah.
People need to fucking see that photo. Mm-hmm.
It is all bad on Instagram.
Yeah, it is all bad, that wig.
Yeah.
I will tell you, it's so good.
Thanks for listening. It's all bad. Don't forget to follow us on Instagram. It is all bad.
Also, subscribe to our podcast, and one lucky listener will get one of the fake dreadlocks from Danny's wig.
Oh, that's good. Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Thanks.